Welcome back, listeners. I'm so excited to have you here with me today. If you're new, welcome to the Psyche Behind the Physique. I'm your host, Maddie Michelson, IFBB Bikini Pro and founder of the Empowered Coaching Collective. I hope each and every one of you had a fantastic holiday with your loved ones and friends and are feeling refreshed as we bid adieu to yet another holiday. Alexa, it's like crazy to think that Easter is behind us and then like we've got Mother's Day and wham, it's summer.
I know. I feel
Guys,
like
if you've been following along my YouTube channel, life has been busy for me over in St. Petersburg, Florida. Alexa actually just left a couple weeks ago, and she spent her time away on break over in the Sunshine State with me. And we are getting ready to head out on another vacation in just 2 months here together. So by nature, today I'm joined with one of my near and dear athletes of 3 years and two-time overall bikini champion, Alexa Sater. Alexa, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you. I'm so glad to be back yet again. And I miss seeing your face. I know I'm seeing your face right now, but I miss seeing it in person. I wish I was there right now.
Aww.
But
Well, a few more weeks.
I
Listen,
know. A week.
today we're talking about a very common theme that I think we've either been on the receiving end of as coaches or maybe on the experiential end of as athletes. So, in this episode, you're going to want to have a pen and paper ready because today we're talking all about vacations, trips, and those moments where you feel like you're going to get thrown off track, perhaps lose progress, or maybe moments in the past where you've skipped out on a fun vacation or an outing for fear of merely not having control. So, listeners, today we want you to walk away from our conversation feeling inspired, enriched, and not only in control, but empowered to set sail, bon voyage, or road trip wherever, and know that you can still hang on to every win and ounce of progress that you've earned. So, kicking us off tonight, I prepared some talk points for Alexa and I that I want to explore first, and that kind of pertains to just like the fear of or the notion of where fear comes from. Because I think that a lot of times when we are feeling apprehensive about going on a vacation or apprehensive about even saying yes to going or being in an environment where we don't have control, we can all acknowledge that where that originates from is fear. So, breaking fear down first, I actually did a little research and we learned that fear can come from not only our experience, which I think a lot of us reference a lot when we think about vacations and maybe vacations that haven't gone so bad, but also biology. Okay. And the reason why I want to bring up biology, as I discuss fear, is that sure, fear originates in our amygdala. It's a part of our brain responsible for detaching threat or for detecting threats. But what happens when we have this fear response is the body starts to sweat. We start to have this shallow breath, right? We have a rapid heartbeat. Our body goes into this freeze-like state. And so when we think about fear and we break it down in this way, it's interesting. If you're freaking out about a vacation, you can't even get yourself mentally into a space of even exploring or being open to or receptive to opportunities that we might have on a trip to feel better or getting ourselves to a place of feeling better because we just freeze up. Alexa, has that ever like happened to you? Maybe not on a trip, but has it ever happened to you? Like, I know that this happens to me sometimes before I go on stage.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yes.
Like, fear brain kicks in, and it's like sometimes the excited brain kicks in, and it's kind of that same thing. It's that same feeling of like, I start to get into like this panic mode, and you can't even, like, you don't even remember your routine for a second.
Like a
Like,
total mental handicap, I feel
yeah.
like restricts you of thinking beyond anything other than what you're worried about, you know?
Right. And something that my therapist actually brought up to me when I was going through all that was like he used to say, where our feeling goes, and the feeling being fear, thought flows. So if you fear losing control or gaining weight, you're going to think about doing it, and those thoughts produce actions. And so fear in many instances with vacations, Yes, here's like one example. Fear can come from our physiological response, but fear can also come from past experiences. Maybe not even your own, right? Maybe you're a young girl, or maybe you have your own kids as you're a listener listening to this podcast today. And when you were growing up, you watched a mom that was super, super, super restrictive going into every vacation. Then she went on vacation and she drank and she drank and she ate the things. And then she got back and it was all negative self-talk. Or maybe you've had 1 to 2 vacations where you haven't necessarily demonstrated acting in alignment with your higher self or your future goals. And now you're fearful of doing it again.
Yeah. I think something interesting about that is like, what's funny is, okay, if you have an experience in the past, like on a vacation where you maybe overindulged or had some you couldn't control yourself in some aspect, and then you then become fearful of that, so you opt for a more control-based routine when you vacation the next time. But the thing is, something like that too is like, fear stems from having a control-oriented mindset, you know? Like when we then go on to create like a bodybuilder routine to navigate a vacation is supposed to challenge that. It's a time to like create flexibility. It's a time to like broaden your mindset beyond just like, okay, well, now that I messed up that vacation, let me like go all in on like the most controlled routine ever and cover all the bases that I've covered before, even when you're still on vacation. Like, that is also an aspect of fear in some way or another.
Yeah, and I think when I and I and I have used to do this. I mean, I did have an eating disorder, and I very much was, I'd approach any, not just vacation, but outing, truthfully, from that very fear-rooted, fear-anchored mindset. And what we end up doing in order to compensate for the fear and to essentially make us feel brave is grasp at any element of control that we have. And we're going to talk about that today, about control and restriction and all of those sometimes, rather negative words. The last thing too here is where fear can sometimes stem from is even the media.
Oh, totally.
Ads like Botox, PRP, CoolSculpting, all of those things lead us to believe that we need to start looking for these services around 30, right? You never see a 17-year-old in one of those ads, and usually you don't see a 50-year-old in one of those ads. It's like 30-year-olds is prime time. So it's
That's
interesting how, go ahead.
the thing I was seeing of like preventative Botox for like teenagers. I'm like, what? Why are we doing that? Have you seen that? Like preventative Botox? I don't know.
Absolutely. And it's marketing, it plants the seed in our head that we have to start doing something. And so Botox and PRP and CoolSculpting, like that's one thing. But another thing to also consider is weight loss programs. Weight loss programs a lot of times are tailored to like it's prodding at the very woman who knows or is so scared of gaining weight on holiday or gaining weight on a vacation, and it's all this shred down for bikini season, right? Have you ever seen a weight loss ad of a girl that's not in a bathing suit? No.
No.
They're always in a bikini. And so oftentimes it plants the seed that we need to be stick skinny when it comes time to putting on a bikini.
Yeah.
And so it breeds this feeling. It's just like every woman that feels like they need to lose 20 to 30 pounds before they get married. Why? Your husband or your fiance has seen you in this body for the last like year,
Yeah. Weird stigma around all of that, especially like the whole summer bikini body. Like, only ever been advertised in bikinis, which is like a weird point that now that you bring that up, but it's interesting.
It's marketing, and it like I said, it creates this scarcity, fearful mindset that we have to then cut
FOMO.
down and lose weight. Not just, and I'm not talking about a program where it's all about feeling good in your skin in a bathing suit. I'm all for that. What I'm talking about is we have to lose weight, right? Because that's what these programs are. It is lose weight, get skinny, get fit, lose body fat, be 20 pounds lighter. There's always a number attached to it. Then you will be confident in a bikini. So automatically, in our normal walking around day-to-day bodies, we are not confident in a bikini. We're setting ourselves up for this. So right off the rip, we're working to establish the framework here for understanding and accepting that the whole notion of needing to lose crazy amounts of weight or cut down to an unnecessary degree, or where you might end up gaining enough, for someone to notice on a single vacation, is all unnecessary and merely a figment of our imagination. This is rooted in fear, but we do understand that because of this, usually we either A, turn down invites to do things that stretch us beyond our comfort zone or sphere of control. B, say F it and wind up acting in a manner that confirms our very fears. We've talked about the fact that we are self-confirming humans. Or C, we learn to resent vacationing because it means extremes on the front and back ends of our trips. So we're here today to reference the many trips that Alexa and I have taken and will continue to take together, where not a pound of weight was gained, and we were able to practice balance and moderation throughout. So the first place that we're going to discuss vacationing is the pre-vacation. I have talked a lot, I feel, on this channel and on this podcast about the notion of priming. And I've talked about it in different contexts. I've talked about morning priming and how it sets you up for your day, but I want to talk about priming in the context of setting yourself up for success on a vacation, right? Like, not necessarily getting in your head about all the things that we can, all the scenarios that we can strum up in our mind where things go awry. Because there's a copious amount of things on vacation that we will have no control over. But if you start fixating on those things and you're priming yourself to be receptive to only the opportunities to failure, you're going to fail. So, one of the tips that I have in terms of just like getting the ball rolling for a vacation is be good before you go.
I was going to say that, like, even practicing little things that you can take with you into the vacation is like super important. Like getting up early and going for a walk. Start doing that a week before your vacation. And then that way, when you go on vacation, it won't feel like you're so out of routine, or like it won't create that sort of fear mindset that, like, oh my gosh, the world is crashing down because I'm not doing what I usually do.
Or
And then
like if you just have a really good week and all week long leading up into your vacation, like you've eaten really good, you didn't go out. You didn't, you slept really good the week before you went on a vacation, then you're more than likely not going to go on this vacation and feel like you need an extreme. It's like you're going in with this like this confidence. It's no different than someone who wakes up and like goes for a walk and primes their day by getting some movement. And you're more likely to honestly come home and eat a nourishing breakfast than you are going to go through the drive-through or skip breakfast altogether. It's like this is what you do to put your mind in a position of I can be successful. I think the other thing, go ahead.
What's funny too is like what I see most often about like getting ready for vacation is like, let's not eat. Like, I was having friends that were going to Coachella and they were like, okay, guys, we're gonna starve for this entire week so that we can go all out on our vacation and like drink and get food and all this. And I'm like, that's gonna ruin everything associated with that vacation. You're not gonna have fun if you're starving yourself until you go so that you can, quote, enjoy it. Because you know what I mean? Like, it's so many people are like, okay, well, I'm gonna go get this and this and this done before my vacation. I'm gonna stop eating before my vacation. And then it's like all so that you can go balls to the wall when you're there.
Well, this is why too, when I work with like brides, I purposefully and very, I started a cut with one of my brides today. And we literally have a reverse diet planned the entire month before her wedding because it's not That wedding comes and then your honeymoon comes and you blow. I mean, if you go into that wedding at like the in the thick of your cut, like at the steepest of steep macros and the highest of highs cardio, like you're setting yourself up to just blow up on these trips. I think another thing too, we talk about body positivity and body confidence. I think before a trip, especially something where maybe you're going to be in a bikini or you're going to be in clothes that are more revealing than your typical attire that you wear on a day-to-day basis, is to ask yourself before that vacation, if I wasn't going on vacation, how would I feel in my body? Right? Like, I met with a lady today, actually, who, she was saying, it's never been about the weight for me. It's never been about the weight, but I just want to be, I just have like 5 more pounds to lose. I wasn't expecting to lose this much weight when I worked with my former coach. And I think she had said that she'd lost like, I don't want to quote her on this, but like maybe 20 pounds. It was like a big number. And she's like, but I have like 5 more that I still want to lose. And I stopped her and I said, wait, 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 wait. But you said that it was never about the weight to begin with, right? And we're so quick to, like we talked about, kind of buy into what we think we have to do. But if you don't even think about that, like don't think about what you think you have to do or what someone else might want you to do. Ask yourself, if I wasn't putting on a bikini, if I didn't care about how I was primed to think I needed to feel when I put this swimsuit on, how would I really feel? And then we talked.
Feel fine.
Yeah, and you probably would feel confident, another thing, as we're kind of moving along this list here on the pre-vacation list of things, is we talked a little bit earlier about the brain and its ability to spiral. I'm such a spiraler. My mom's always like, "Your brain, you're doing squirrel brain again, Maddie." Is that what she says?
Gosh, I brain too.
I hate it. I think we all do. It's like you fixate on one little thing and all of a sudden it's like the world is crashing down around you. I was going to California with my I had a podcast episode actually on this, but I was going to California with my dad's side of the family back in October, and I remember thinking to myself, like, I was getting so worked up over the fact that I wasn't going to have a gym. And I was like looking up gyms and like thinking about like Ubering and getting a guest pass somewhere. And then I realized like that is probably 5% of the 95% that I'm still going to have control over. And I think that that's a really healthy thing to do before you go on a trip is like think about the things that the variables that aren't going to be changing. Like, maybe you're going to be home in an Airbnb. I was in the case of California, and I was able to make breakfast every day. I had a bed. I was able to control what time I went to bed and I woke up. I had a water bottle and I had bottles of water, and I was able to stay hydrated. Like that's honestly a lot of this is focusing on the stuff that you can still control.
And I would say focusing on things like that are arguably more important than like stressing out about going to a gym. Like, especially if you're on a vacation for like a week or less and you're using all your time and energy to find a gym and Uber and do this and that, it's like you're gonna sacrifice the other controllables that are much more effective on your body, like sleep and water and supplements and making sure you have a good breakfast. That's way more important than making sure you go get your lift in, especially for
Well,
like.
and it's such a good, you make such a good point because had I, this is the truth, had I gone to the gym and like gotten up in the morning to go do that, I probably would have had to have gone fasted because I wouldn't have wanted to make noise in the kitchen that early around my family that was sleeping. And I also would have had to sacrifice my own sleep. So that's one key thing. Now, I will also, while I'm on this thought track of being in California, I do remember thinking about how I was really going to set myself up for feeling good when I went there. And I remember being in this season because remember, this was like October time this past year. And I remember thinking to myself, like, I'm really still working to hone in on what balance is. And I thought back to times in my life where I went on different vacations and balance looked different depending on the vacation that I was on and also the season of life that I was in. But I think that it's really important for us before we go on a trip of any type to define our own version of balance or success. And what this can do for us is it can prevent us from flipping into the I'm on vacation and nothing matters and I ruined it, so I'll fix it when I get back mentality. And it also gets you out of your fear brain, right? And it gets you primed and prepared for a realistic mindset. When I was in California, I remember thinking to myself, it is unrealistic for me to get 10,000 steps a day. Because a lot of times we were in the car and we were like traveling in between cities and we were in the car for 3, 4 hours at a time. It was just unrealistic. But something that was realistic for me was once we got back to our like little ranch house Airbnb, I could go for a 30-minute walk in the evenings. And mind you, it was flipping freezing. I was shivering me timbers. It was so cold, but I was committed to doing that to at least getting a little bit of movement for the sake of like my digestion and my mental peace and well-being. And I think that that was a really eye-opening moment for me because what it did was, number one, it was part of me defining what the balance looked like. I wasn't going to the extreme of finding a gym to get on the treadmill for 40 minutes before we left for the day. But I was still prioritizing something that mattered for the sake of my internal health. And at the same time, here was the key. It was kind of a pain in the ass. Like the fact that I was prioritizing this, it was one of those, I know I should do it. Okay, I'll do it. And I also remember usually my breakfast is one of my bigger meals of the day because I just like to have a big fat breakfast. It makes me so
Same.
happy. And I remember in California, I actually did the opposite. I started with a more, a much more simple and like lower calorie. It had sufficient amounts of protein, but it was like yogurt, berries, and an egg white omelet. And I did that for a very intentional reason because I knew that we were going to be eating out during the day a lot. And that was going to, be higher calorie foods. And I remember that also being one of those things where I was like, ah, shoot. Like, I got to eat this breakfast. And I think that that's really key. Like, sometimes in order to maintain your balance, you've got to have some things that are a little annoying to you. And what that's going to do on the vacation is, it's going to keep you within your guardrails.
It's going to remind you of like, okay, this is why I do this when I'm home, or like, this is why I enjoy doing this way. And it's funny, some of the things you said is very applicable to my trip that I went on in Germany, like right off of prep. Like I was fresh off of prep and I was freaking out. Do you remember this? I was like
Yeah.
so I
You're
literally
like, should I go?
I literally asked Maddie if I should not go because I was so afraid. But anyways, so I
Fear
remember,
brain, fear brain.
fear brain. I was so fearful, and we'll talk about that more later about the things that went wrong on that trip, or not the things that went wrong, but the things that went wrong in my head getting ready for the trip. And here's one of them. So beforehand, or one of the things I actually did right beforehand, I recognized that in order to have balance, I was going to be in a hotel in a foreign country that I had never been in before. I don't speak the language there. Also, if you guys are watching this and want to go to Germany, just know there's very little English spoken there. So, but I remember that I realized before I was going to go, like, oh my gosh, I am not going to be able to cook. Like, I'm going to be in a hotel room in a foreign country. I can't cook. What am I going to do? So I remember when I was there and we had like hotel breakfast, I made like the cognizant decision to every morning choose something that was very healthy. And I remember having like boiled eggs and only eating the whites and then having like oatmeal and fruit, and then it was like ham or turkey. And that was good for me because that helped me realize, and it was one of the things that was kind of annoying, like, oh my gosh, I have to have like a different breakfast than I'm usually used to. But it was also something that I recognized I had to do in order to, it was one of the variables that I had to change to have that sort
Yeah.
of.
And you couldn't eat probably what everybody else ate.
Yeah.
And that in some ways, like just because you're doing something that's a little bit of an annoyance to you and a
Yeah.
little bit of an inconvenience to you doesn't mean that it's a negative thing. It
Oh.
just means that you're finding balance sometimes. And balance sometimes means being a little bit inconvenienced, especially if you have a goal at hand. And this whole topic, this whole podcast tonight is about what you do to feel your best, not only on vacation, but to feel good as you come home. Now, I also think that it's important for us to be realistic about what we need to loosen up our grip on.
Yeah.
You know, for me in California, it was a, it, I had to loosen my grip on being in the gym for 1 to 2 hours. You
Me
know,
too.
sometimes your family, they do not want to wait around for you to get a workout in.
No, there's no time for that when you're like traveling and doing things. Like, it's just not realistic.
Yeah. Same thing with like, you know, getting your bodybuilder meals in every 3 hours. Like
Right.
when I was with my family, it was so funny. Like I remember we had ran out of eggs or egg whites or something like that. And my sister was like, "We're not going back to the store. Like you're eating way too much of those." And I was like, "We've only gotten a carton of them, and there's three of us, and it's been, you know, 3 days already." And she's like, "Maddie, it takes a week for two of us to go through a carton of eggs at home." And I'm like, "Not me, you know. For me, one of my things that I have to be let I have to loosen my grip on and let go of is having a Ninja Creami
Oh my
every
God.
single night. It sucks." And the whole saying here of like fail to plan, plan to fail, even mentally is so true. Like don't set yourself up to be disappointed. If you know that you're not going to be able to get to a gym, don't allow that to be one of the things that gets you set off. And causes you to spiral into this place of I don't have control. Just be realistic about the fact that you're not going to be able to get into the gym.
Yeah. I think setting your expectations lower with something like that, as pertaining to like hitting the gym or getting your meals in on certain timing, like set your expectations low so that when you do vacation and you can meet them, not only will you be more fulfilled, but like if you don't meet them, it won't be like the end of the or world, you know?
Yeah. I was thinking about our upcoming trip together. Alexa and I, if you guys don't know, we're going to Dominican Republic for my birthday. And I was thinking about something that I'm doing right now. And that is Alexa and I have been texting every night. I'm sending her like all these swimsuits that I'm ordering. And the other night, transparently, I had ordered like size small bikini bottoms and I texted Alexa and I was like, "Hey, like I ordered these online." And Alexa was like, "No, like you should have gotten mediums. Like I promise they're going to be way too tight." And this is going to sound funny and kind of silly and maybe kind of stupid to some of our listeners, but God, it's so freaking true. Like buy swimsuits that effing
Thank
fit.
you. Oh my God. Yes.
This is so important. There's nothing that makes you feel larger than life than putting on a swimsuit and having that like hip hangover.
Oh my God. You literally feel like a colossal whale. And
I
it's like.
know. And when you sometimes just put on like the medium-sized bottoms that actually fit you, you will feel so much more confident.
Yeah, I think with that said, though, there needs to be some sort of like mental detachment to like sizing. Like, I personally am not one to get hung up on sizing. Like, I've been a medium, large, a small, extra small in my life, and I don't really care. But there are
Yeah.
people who will genuinely try to squeeze into like an extra small, small just because of their mental, even though like they don't like the way they
Oh,
physically.
that used to be me. Growing up, I never wanted to be bigger than a size 14 kids. And I used to rip almost every single pair of Hollister jeans that I would put on because they did not fit me.
It's just
Fun
not worth
fact.
it. Literally detach yourself from the sizing. Like, if you need to get a medium, get a medium. You're gonna feel better in it. And then, like, when it's on, you're not gonna be thinking, oh my God, I'm in a medium though. No one
Oh yeah,
cares.
no, especially if you don't have that hip hangover because it actually fits you. On that note, I think, something to for our listeners to keep in mind as well is the whole idea of my mom always says about relationships, what it's like going into something is exactly how it's going to stay. She said that a lot to me recently as I've explored all these men. And I want to, it resonates with me, even in the context of like the things that we do, right, to obtain X, Y, and Z physique. And you have to think about, like, if you are going to extremes to get your body to a place where you're really confident going into a vacation, like you're confident in the body that you're bringing on vacation, those same behaviors on that vacation, in order to maintain, not even continue to see progress, but maintain the physique that you've earned. Like you got to keep doing the same stuff to keep the body that you got doing that stuff. So just keep that in mind. Like if you're doing crazy amounts of cardio, just know you go on that vacation and you let up, the pounds are going to come back on and it's going to be harder on the back end, especially if you've had a little bit of a break, to pick all of those things back up. And before we move on to this vacation, because we've got to take this plane off here somewhere, I also want to just add, clean your effing place. Like, do not leave for a vacation with a home that is a pigsty.
That's
It
such like
makes
an
such a
off-topic
difference when you
like
come
thing,
home.
but it's so true. Yeah.
Like, it, you know, if you leave for your vacation, if you haven't like cleaned your sheets or made your bed or done your laundry or cleaned out your fridge, like you're coming home to chaos. There is no like, oh, let me do like a fridge restock or like let me go to the gym or let me do all of my let me unpack everything. It's like you come home to chaos, your mind's also going to be chaos. And guess how chaos operates? Let me order out. Let me sleep this weekend and recover. That's how chaos operates. So don't set yourself up for a chaotic return. Messy space, messy brain. All right. But we're moving on. The plane is taking off. We are
Now
landing.
in vacation.
We are in the Dominican Republic, ladies and gentlemen. So I think that number one thing that I thought about when I think about vacations is. And again, this took me back, even though we're in the DR, I went back to California and I thought about something that really made me uncomfortable for the first few days. And that was the fact that my family was eating so differently than I was. They were eating three meals a day and they were eating things that were higher in calories. So when I went out, I found that I was struggling with still kind of wanting to eat like a bodybuilder. Like I wanted to eat five and six meals a day, and I also wanted to eat modest to low calorie meals. And I find that when this happens, right, when you try to continue to eat like a bodybuilder or like the meals that you normally eat at home, that's generally when you overeat. Because either A, you wind up wanting what everybody else has, and so you have little bites of theirs too. Or B, you're not training to that capacity usually when you're on vacation and you eat into a surplus depending on how long you're away.
Or you follow your meal plan with 5 to 6 meals, and then at the end of the night, when your family orders in dessert or decide to go to an ice cream shop, and then you're like, you know what? F it. I'm gonna get some too because they're doing it, and I haven't had anything like they've had all day.
Yeah. And now you're way over. Yeah. That happened to me the first night that we went there because we were like flying and stuff and we landed super, super late. And I was like, I will eat anything right now. And I was like, I shouldn't have eaten like I ate earlier because I wasn't even really hungry for it.
Right. You were just like doing your program, basically. You were
Right.
just operating like a robot.
Right. And I think when I loosen my grip a little bit on having a little bit of flexibility, like, of course I still had my normal breakfast or my lower calorie breakfast that I discussed earlier, but then I would eat like my family ate to a greater extent and capacity throughout the day. I realized this very important thing that I want our listeners to really take note of here, and that is that health doesn't come from food control, but instead from food freedom. And what I mean when I say that is that control says, I can't have that. When my family was going to a Mexican restaurant and there was no salads or, there was no, can I get that cooked in no oil?
Yeah.
Control tells us you can't have it. I would have said, I can't have that. I can't eat there. Freedom says, I can have that. Do I want it now?
Yeah.
And the difference here is rebelling against your plan versus staying aligned because you want to feel your best.
Yeah.
And there was times like on our vacation at that Mexican restaurant where I did my best. I ordered the fajitas and this is like a it's called Jalisco's. It's like a restaurant where everybody has known my family for generations. Like, I guess the day that my grandma had passed away, my dad and his family went in, they gave him a free tequila shot. It was like one of those things. So when we finished our enchiladas and like our fajitas and our dinner, of course the manager came around and brought flauta cookie dough, like flautas and the churros and tequila shots for our family. It was like everything. And mind you, I was super hungry.
Yeah.
But again, I had to in that moment ask, is this control talking and saying I can't have that? Or is this freedom talking and saying I can have a tequila shot, a flauta, and a churro? Do I want all of that right now?
Yeah.
And I didn't want all of it. I could have had all of it, but instead, what I did is I took a churro and then I just said, I'm good.
Yeah. I think that kind of brings something else up about like the whole freedom thing, where like when you say you're a disciplined person and then you carry that into vacation and you're like trying to stay disciplined or whatever. Discipline without any sense of freedom is still kind of like a cage, you know? Like, if your routine is only operating when everything is in perfect control, is that actually discipline, or are you just dependent on like the same routine over and over again?
Yeah, it's not discipline.
Yeah,
It's
no.
not discipline. It's discipline disguised as very rigid and again rooted in fear type of behavior.
Yeah.
Discipline just has a more positive connotation.
Yeah,
I
agree.
think even on that kind of like thought track with discipline too, we can kind of discuss here, intentional versus mindless eating, which is something that I wanted to bring up. On vacation or maybe anytime you're out of your routine, the goal isn't always to say yes or no to everything. It's to be present and to be intentional. So as you are trying to differentiate, because I think this is something that I've struggled with and I can relate to other women that may struggle with feeling or questioning if they're being disciplined, right? Which we know is a very dicey word. If they're being too controlled, or if they're just kind of saying, screw it all and throwing all that out the window, there's questions that you can ask yourself in order to be more discerning with your decision making. You can ask yourself and you can check in and say, am I hungry? Is my stomach physically hungry? One of the questions I ask my athletes that are struggling with just like mindless eating is if what you're fixated on is a brownie and you're saying it's because you're hungry, and I were to ask you if you wanted a piece of raw broccoli, what would you say? That's how you
Yeah.
know, are you physically hungry? You can ask yourself, will this feel good during and after? Because I think so often we skip to the after part, but it's also important that it feels good during it too. Sometimes something won't feel so good after, but it will feel good during. And I think we can also weigh out those consequences. Alexa, you had Easter this past weekend and you checked in with me on Monday and you were like, the meal was great. I had gluten and I don't feel so great. But in that moment, you probably checked in, and when you weighed out the will this feel good during and after, the during honestly outweighed the afters.
Yeah, and it was solely just because like I realized I was gonna be with family and I didn't want to have that sort of like rigid control of like, okay, let me like get the leanest thing at this. It was a buffet. I let me get the leanest everything that was at this buffet. Let me not get any desserts at this buffet. And I just realized like that's not realistic. Let me just ask myself if, even though, okay, maybe I'm not very tolerant to gluten, if I'm eating this and I enjoy it and I'm having a good time with everyone, it's worth it to me. And that was one of the questions I asked. And I think making it less like binary, like yes, no, and instead asking yourself like these questions, I think that's more helpful in determining if it's mindless eating or not.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think something too that can help with these practices and staying, mindful of doing things and acting in a way that supports our goals and supports our physical body. It's important to not get overwhelmed, like you just talked about, choosing like only the leanest cuts of meat. It's important to not get overwhelmed with what it means to really stay healthy and what it means to choose nourishing things, right? Nourishment is multifaceted. It doesn't always mean choosing the steamed shrimp on a cold, dry salad with no dressing. You don't have to overhaul your trip. When I'm working with athletes on our team, one thing that I tell them is just upgrade where it matters, right? When you want to or when you can, choose grilled instead of fried. When there's desserts, why don't you share them instead of getting desserts for just yourself?
Yeah.
Pick a plate, get a whole big plate of food instead of grazing all day.
That's a big one.
Right? It's so easy when you're in someone else's house, like wanting to sample everything. Just get a
Yeah.
plate. I awarded one of my athletes today for saying, the other day I was craving these Cape Cod chips and I found myself snacking at them at my island. She said, I finally just put them into a bowl and I brought them over to my table to eat them with my dinner. I said, beautiful. Right?
That's when like doing that is so much better because when you're grazing too, you don't even realize that you end up just eating when you're not like you surpass hunger at that point. You're just eating to eat.
Yeah. And so I think that these are, and that leads me to my fourth point there is take a pause before you auto eat. Like there's so much power in that simple stop.
Yeah.
Like before you go to eat, again, it goes back to those questions. Am I hungry? Will this feel good during and after? Is this something that I love, or am I having it just because? Again, we're not trying to come at this from a place of guilt. But we're coming at this from a place of just being more discerning with our choices and being more mindful. What happens when we go on vacation a lot of times is we just operate. It begins with the fear, but it spirals and we begin operating on autopilot. So, speaking of spiraling, I think one of the reasons why a lot of us feel like crap after we leave vacation is because usually we haven't. So it's really, really important. I was talking to one of my athletes today. They were like, yeah, my number one focus for this next week is to drink water. And I was on a video check-in with her and I was like, okay, you gotta let me in on the secret. What is it about water? Like, why is it that this is such an important, a thing for people? She's like, well, I just don't get thirsty. I'm like, well, one of the reasons you don't get thirsty, do you realize? So back when I had an eating disorder, I used to restrict my water. Like I swore that by not having more fluid, I would weigh less on the scale. So I wouldn't drink like any water. I would literally probably get in like 20 ounces a day. And I remember never being thirsty, like ever. I would never need water. And that's because your body, just like your metabolism, adjusts to that. Have you ever noticed that when you drink more water, you're thirstier all the time? So drink your water. Seriously, stay hydrated. You don't want to feel like crap. You want to crap. So
Reminded
if
me.
you're, yeah, especially if you're at a tropical place. I like to say, I know on vacation, as bodybuilders or health and fitness girlies, we're so used to getting like 130 ounces in. Just aim for like 80 to 100, but that's so much better than what you're probably used to. So get your water in. Magnesium glycinate, I cannot emphasize that enough. That's like my cure-all for regularity when I'm on a trip. I do not go to sleep without my mag glycinate. It's like literally saves me. Fibrous foods, like, oh my gosh, if you're on a cruise, if you're at an all-inclusive, get the berries.
Yeah.
Raspberries and blackberries are your best friend.
I was just gonna say, like, I feel like on vacations, like when you are eating out, because I feel like that's what it is for most people.
Yeah.
There's like a lack of fibrous foods. So if you can at least like find something that has fiber in it, that will be your saving grace to
Now you can even order like little mini prepackaged seeds too.
Yeah. Or like bring seeds with you or something.
Yeah, you might get stopped by TSA. No, I'm kidding. Just don't bring poppy seeds. I don't know if they'd stop you, but post-meal walks, that's another one too. Like, especially if you're on vacation, it's so nice to be able to, like, Alexa, when you were here staying with me, we would go walk the pier.
Oh, we did so much walking.
Yeah. It's so fun because you're in a new city and you get to explore other places. Post-meal walks, they don't, not only do they stimulate your digestion and decrease that abdominal pressure and discomfort, but they also calm your nervous system. Hello, pooping, because it gets you to that parasympathetic state, and then it improves your blood sugar regulation too. So you're having less of these cravings and these spikes and crashes in energy. It's like one of the best things that you can do for yourself.
Yeah, getting movement in on vacation is also way easier than you might like think. Like on paper, it's like, okay, well, now I have to go out of my way to get moving. But if you're somewhere tropical or somewhere beautiful or historic, going on a walk is going to be like the most fun thing ever.
Well, yeah, if you're not working, I know that sometimes it'll be like 4 or 5 o'clock. I've sat behind my desk all day and I've had like 1,000 steps. How many times have I called you and been like,
Oh my
oh,
God.
it's
It's
five and
time for a talk. I'm on my walk now. I have
I'm gonna be on a
next
walk for the next 2 hours. Yeah.
steps.
And then guys, this is another one. Like, whatever you do, skip alcohol and salty foods before you fly. I know that they give out like nuts and things like that on the planes, and I get it, but when you're up in the air and that cabin pressure is also at play, alcohol's dehydrating, salty food is what's causing you to bloat, and then the pressure to boot. Like, have you ever gotten off a trip and just like landed on off the plane and just gotten so gassy?
Yeah.
Like, that affects your GI. It does. So do what you can on the front end of your trips. When you're in the airport and you're, waiting for your flight, don't go get a cocktail. Just skip it. And especially if you're drinking coffee too, which is just as dehydrating, get some water in you as well. Let's see, what other things that I want to discuss? Oh, structure versus rigidity. Something that I was thinking about as I was reflecting on my California trip was how structure and rigidity are just like that discipline word. They kind of seem like they're the same thing. But in the context of vacation and even in life, they're really not. Structure is what grounds us, right? Structure is what keeps us connected to our goals, to our body, to our energy. Structure creates safety and it creates rhythm. But what rigidity does is it creates anxiety, right? When we're rigid, that leads to guilt if things don't go perfectly, and it leads to all or nothing behavior. So one way for you to kind of feel and tap into which one you're playing is If every decision feels like a tightrope walk, you're probably playing on the side of rigidity and you're probably going to burn out or rebel. And so, what we want to do is we want to invite more structure. And we do that by creating like a framework for a vacation. Maybe you're going to commit to 3 meals a day. Maybe you're going to commit to protein at breakfast. Or if you're going on a 4-day vacation, Alexa, we did this. We said we're going to drink only one of the days, right? Maybe you're going to commit to 8,000 steps a day. And what this does, what this act does, is it builds trust with yourself and it removes decision fatigue.
That
I think
makes sense.
another thing too that people can do is use your environment to support your health. When we were in New York, we got what, like 30,000 steps a day?
God, my feet hurt so bad when you're there.
Yeah, we were like swollen. When we got back, 10,000 was a walk in the park.
I remember that we would like when we would go out to the bars or whatever, and we were contemplating Ubering back to the hotel. We were like, we just drank. We should just walk. Like, if we're gonna drink, we should just walk. Like, why would we be lazy? Why would we do that? Like, if we're in the environment like New York City where everything's walkable. Why don't we just walk?
And I think too, those that are going on beach vacations, right? Use your environment. The beach and the ocean, it's actually very grounding. It resets your nervous system. There are studies that show that the ocean water actually can lower inflammation and it can improve your sleep. Sunlight plays a role in hormone regulation. It impacts our cortisol, it impacts our melatonin, it impacts our serotonin. Even our leptin and ghrelin, our hunger and our satiety signals, sun can actually do more for our energy levels than a double espresso, as Alexa yawns. And then forests. My mom
Sorry.
was always like, oh, I'm so jealous. You're going to the Redwood Forest when I was in California. The forests actually activate our parasympathetic rest and digest state. So if you are in an environment that is filled with trees and you're in a cabin, or maybe you're at the ocean and you're at the beach and you have this luxury of taking advantage of it, do it. Because there's multiple health benefits to being in a lot of these environments. And then I think the last thing that we can discuss as it pertains to being on vacation, being on trips, being out of your environment, is to literally just pause. Like when you are overstimulated, right? When you are tired, when you're hungry, when you've been too social, maybe you're not right now thinking about a time where you've been on vacation, but we usually forget that we are stimulated, that we are social, right? That we are tired on vacation. We're so quick to think about this happening when we leave work and we're exhausted, but that's when poor decision making happens, right? We snack just because we're at a work cocktail hour. We've been socializing for 2 hours with our favorite people on earth.
Yeah, you become
Bartender's pouring another drink.
exhausted.
We just say yes,
Yeah.
right? Everyone's ordering an appetizer. Oh, I will, because everybody else is. There is so much power in a pause. Pause
I
before
feel
you order. Am I ordering something for them? Am I ordering something for me? Pause before you mindlessly snack. Ask yourself, am I anxious? Am I stressed? Am I distracted? And then pause before that second or third drink. I had an experience this past weekend for Easter, actually. And we were drinking mimosas in the morning. And I had one mimosa. And I like honestly kind of felt it because I don't drink a lot. And I was like, should I have another? And it was so easy in that moment to be like, totally, yeah, I want to. And I was like, no, I want to go for a run later. And it was the power of the pause in that moment and
Yeah.
asking myself, is this decision in alignment with how I want to feel? It wasn't for me about saying no to pleasure. But it was about saying yes to not reacting to my environment or my emotions in that moment and responding to my body and my intrinsic goals. Same reason why we define balance on the front end. You know, it's in that moment, what balance meant to me was getting in a run, eating a little bit more indulgently, if you will, in the earlier portion of Easter, and then still getting in a run.
Yeah.
So hopefully you guys have learned something about traveling. Now we're coming home. The plane, Dominican was great. The trip was awesome.
Sunburn.
Yeah, we're sunburned. We had so much success. We're coming home to clean apartments and clean houses. And, you know, Alexa, you probably will have quite a bit to say here in this final clip or chapter, if you will, of this
Segment.
podcast. But Alexa, you recently got back from a vacation where you weren't necessarily feeling your absolute best. Truthfully, I think you were most spent post Florida than you were New York.
Oh, yeah. Isn't that weird how that, like, guys, if you knew, I wish we vlogged New York. Like, honestly, I wish we did, but it was so much fun. But no, when I got back from Florida, so the whole thing with when I went there was I was nonstop. I was literally just nonstop, go, 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 go. I had no second to pause, no second to even think. My mind started to like operate in overdrive. Like I didn't even have time to like ask myself questions. I flew from LA to Texas. I was with Marco for a few days, then flew from Texas to Tampa, then was with Maddie for like a week, then flew back to Texas, and then a few days later flew back to LA. And it was like travel became monotonous. It became less enjoyable because I was also focusing on a lot of the wrong things. I was focusing on like, oh, the aspects that are so much different than what I usually do. Like I would keep reminding myself, oh, this is like nothing. Like this isn't like my usual routine. This isn't this. Instead of looking at it like, okay, well, I think it's good for me to have a different routine. Maybe with this different routine, I can exercise this sort of flexibility and balance that I've been wanting to find when I go on trips and such things like that. And I did a lot of that in New York City, but when I didn't give myself time to realize like, okay, flexibility is actually what's important rather than reminding myself how, quote, off plan I was, that's when you start to become like resentful of like the trip as a
So you're
whole.
saying that you feel like that back-to-back almost battle with yourself internally was
Yeah.
what burned you out after this trip.
Fully, because I think when the difference between, I guess, going to see you, I mean, not that we didn't really even do anything crazy, but the difference between that trip and I would say New York was, I think before we went to New York, we were like preparing to walk a bunch. We were preparing to not go to the gym. I remember we were texting, we were like, should we even bring workout clothes? Like, we're probably not gonna go. And I also remember like we were preparing to eat out at this restaurant. We had like a whole itinerary of places we were going to. Like we literally had the whole weekend planned out. And I think
Yeah.
that gave me the expectations of like, okay, well, now I know what to expect. A few days before, let me like prime my mind. Again, there's that word, prime. Let me like get myself ready to do this. And I think with going to Texas and Florida, and Texas is a little bit tougher for me than Florida because I'm going to stay with Marco, who eats a lot more than me, eats out a lot more than me, and he works out, which is great, but he makes it a point to make sure to go to the gym. It's like he's a very structured person, but in the sense that it borderlines rigidity. And if he's listening to this, I love you, but you are very rigid. So I think that kind of creates anxiety and fear for me about like, okay, well, even though I'm not home in LA, like I still need to stick to this routine. Otherwise, like everything's gonna turn upside down, you know?
Yeah, and I remember you getting back from the trip to Florida, and I called you to check in on you, and you were like, I think I'm coming down from with something. Like, I think I'm getting sick.
I literally got sick. I
Yeah, you
literally got
did. You did. And I remember you took, I mean, it was like 3 days, 2 or 3 days completely off from the gym as soon
Oh
as you
yeah,
got back.
it was.
But I also remember like talking to you about, and this isn't necessarily for the people that like get back from a vacation and they get sick, right? But I do think, Alexa, that your experience speaks volumes to the fact that we're so quick to forget all of the ways in which our body was thrown off, right? Even if you were like on a honeymoon and it was the best trip you've ever taken with your significant other, right? Like you might have had more restaurant meals. You probably had more sodium. You probably had more alcohol. You probably slept less. You probably ate new foods. You might have been in a different time zone. Maybe you had different movement patterns. Like, is something like returning right back to the gym the day you get back or the day after, or hell, stepping on the scale, is that really going to serve you?
No, I actually would make a recommendation to a lot of people that after you travel, whether you've done everything right or everything wrong, I wouldn't step on the scale. And not just because, to like help like preserve the thoughts you had before, but to like ease your mind that like, okay, you know it's going to be up, and if you know that that's can trigger you, just avoid it. Just don't do it. I remember within that whole week of my spring break traveling to Florida and Texas, I was on a plane 4 times in the span of like, I don't know, 8 days. I was on a plane 4 separate times for 2.5 hours each time. Like my body took a toll just from flying, let alone the other variables that were like changed. So it wasn't worth it to me to one work out because I was coming down with something, but also to step on the scale.
And it's okay to love your routine at home, right? It's okay to in some ways kind of miss it. Like when I get back from a vacation, I'm so excited to have my creamy, of course. But at the same time, just like you have to be careful about the way you prime yourself going into a vacation, you need to be careful about the way that you prime yourself coming out of it. How often do we usually say like, "Oh, I can't wait to get back to my routine," right? Now, all of a sudden, you have completely minimized how great that trip was in many
Yeah.
ways, right? Like, I think it's really beneficial and really healthy if you're coming back and maybe you're feeling a little uncomfortable to call up the person that you just spent that trip with. Alexa, we did this and we talked for hours
I
and
know.
talk about how much fun you had. Go through your camera roll, right? Like,
Oh, I do that
remember.
all the time.
I do it all the time, especially when I don't have control. Like I think back to New York City and I look at the pictures from California. Like California are like some of the only pictures that I have for a dating app profile because I was in normal clothes and I was having fun. Like I wasn't just in a gym. And you
Like
know,
the only
it's
picture of you smiling.
yeah, I'm like, no, but it's really, it's like there is so much that we don't even acknowledge about a trip if the first thing that we're thinking about is like, oh, but I can't wait to get back to rigidity.
Yeah.
And I also think too, like that mindset where you are thinking about the things that actually went really well on the trip on the back end, you never know like what new things you're gonna learn. I know, Alexa, like you obviously coming here, you were staying with your coach, which is a little bit different probably than the vacations that our listeners are going on. But in many ways, you got exposure to all new breakfast ideas. I mean, your whole MyFitnessPal changed the following week because
Different.
you were pushed out of your comfort zone. You tried new foods, you know, and you missed doing cardio of all things because I made you do cardio with me. Like, you never know.
Yeah, I think that. Yeah, I think also, like, when you get back from a vacation and you are so insistent on, like, oh my God, my routine, like, thank God I get to do this, and like all this stuff, it sets you up to have a horrible mindset the next time you have to travel. I remember when I got back from Germany, which was the first vacation I have been on after my show. I had gotten back and I was like, oh my God, yes, I get to have my egg whites and my oatmeal and my blueberries for breakfast. Like, Oh, I can't wait to go do cardio. Can't wait to go to the gym every day. And then you go to travel the next time. I remember I went to go see Marco after that. And I was like, oh, I really don't want to go here because I'm going to ruin my routine that I couldn't wait to get back to when I traveled last time. It makes you hate traveling, which is such an awful thing because
Your brain,
traveling is
previous experiences.
Traveling is such an amazing experience, and it's so fulfilling as like a human to be able to like enjoy other cultures and places and things that if you're constantly like setting yourself up to hate the next trip more and more because you love your routine at home so much, you're not going to have a good time.
Yeah, and I see this a lot. I have an athlete actually right now that's now she's 8 weeks out, but we've done a very long prep together. And she travels a lot for work. And gosh, she's such a beautiful example of someone that doesn't get affected by travel. She does it so often that, and we've worked so hard together on how she can kind of like keep her nervous system regulated and whatnot through trips. That she's literally prepping and consistently dropping weight and doing such a phenomenal job while traveling. At the same time, I have a newer athlete on my roster. Love her to death. She's literally growing leaps and leaps and leaps and bounds. But when we first started working together, I remember her saying like, "Oh, I have another trip coming up next week, and like I just hate it because it throws me off my routine." And this was literally every single check-in. I have another trip coming up and I hate it because it throws me off my routine. And finally I said, "This is your routine." You know? And she was like, "Oh my gosh, you're right." And now she's like, every single check-in, amazing, amazing, amazing. And it's so funny how that simple shift from like we talked about at the very beginning of this podcast, from all the things that you're being deprived from to all the things that you do have control over and you can control. And you do have that like autonomy and say so and power of will over can really change not only how you experience the trip and the way that now this athlete of mine is experiencing the connections with her coworkers and, you know, the connection with her body and her identity, not only as just a bodybuilder, but as an employee and a leader and a friend and a spouse and so many other things. But, you know, it allows you to find more enjoyment in the process of creating a healthier mindset and living in a healthier body. So, listeners, thank you so tremendously much for tuning into tonight's chat about vacationing and what you can do to truly feel your best and even look at two without doing what you've done. And likely dreaded for every other vacation because Lord knows we've done it too. As a reminder, we really appreciate your continued support for our podcast and would love for you to give our channel here a rating and to head over to our Instagram and let us know what other topics you'd like to hear next week. I'll put our Instagram handles for y'all down below. There you can also apply to work with either Alexa or myself for one-on-one coaching. As a matter of fact, Alexa and I will be leading 15 women through an 8-week program. We very intentionally coined the spring cleanup instead of bikini shred, focused on the stuff that none of us think about doing during, before, or after vacations to actually feel the best in our skin. And I am so excited to share with you that we have exactly one spot remaining. It is $250, intuitive eating focused, custom to you with a total of two different workout splits provided throughout the 8 weeks. And yes, we do have at-home options too. Throughout the entirety of the program, we will be layering in habits that are going to ultimately help you to love the body you occupy, not only before you leave for summer vacations, but also during and even after. Best part is the winner also receives 90 days of free one-on-one coaching. So apply before it's too late. We start May 1st. Ladies, don't forget how much you know and how far you've already came. Be kind to one another this week and don't forget to leave yourself out of the mix. And we will be, oh, don't forget to leave yourself out of the mix. Don't forget to include yourself in the mix. Don't leave yourself out of the mix, Maddie. Guys, it's 10:02 p.m. where I'm at, all right? We'll see you back here in just 2 weeks. Thanks again for joining us. Have an awesome evening wherever you're at.
Bye.